The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Man, good singing tonight. God bless you. Hey, here's what I want to do. We've got a special speaker coming this coming Sunday. His name is Chris Dallas. I'm going to get those ushers to get those flyers back there off that counter and pass them out. I want you to pray for him, number one. Number two, I want you to come, be in church where you're supposed to be, and invite somebody with you. He is a fantastic preacher, just a great, great man of God. And was those flyers put back there? Do you know?
I gave them to Brother Josh.
You gave them to Brother Josh? In there? Go get them. Yeah, go get them. Fellas, just relax. We got it coming. Rescue is on the way. Hey, while he's doing that, you want me to tell you a joke? Never mind. I can't do that. I'll run you out. I could sing to you, but then you would all faint. And so I'd rather have the joke, wouldn't you? Wednesday night, I'm teaching on how to handle other people's opinions. How to handle other people's opinions. I announced that this morning, prepared the Bible study. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, had it ready for when I'm leaving. I think it'd be a great, great lesson. And so don't miss that Wednesday night. Brother Chris Dallas and I preached together at Brother Fugit's when I did the church growth conference there. Brother Fugit asked me to preach there. And, of course, Brother Dallas has already preached for us in our college chapel, did a wonderful job, has a great testimony. I just want to get it out to you, and that way you can go ahead and pray earnestly. Pray for the mission team. Brother Denton Bell is going on the mission trip. We'll be leaving on Thursday. Also, Brother Jason Tomley and Brother Polly Wathical is all going to be going too. And so you pray very much for that trip. Appreciate that so much. We have, I think, 40-some pastors signed up to come. It'll be about 200 college students there and so on and so on. Go ahead and pass it out to those that are teenagers and above if we have enough. And don't give it to the children. We're not interested in paper airplanes, okay? And so we'll give it out as far as it goes. I think we have enough to be able to do so. And invite people to come. You won't regret it. I promise you. Sunday night, I asked him to preach his life story, and just an amazing, amazing work of the grace of God. And he and his wife will be here, and so you treat them special and love them dearly, if you will. We're in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. The Bible says, "And Ezra opened up the book in the sight of all the people." The Bible says, for he was above all the people. And the Bible says, when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, I want us to notice some things here. There's some things that we do at our church. First off, we open the book. It's good for preachers, I believe, to open the book. And so we open the Bible. We do that. How do we do that? We do it in the sight of all the people. And then we see that he was above the people. Now, that doesn't mean that he was proud and lifted up. I mean, that's talking about his stature where he was, not the stature of the man. So he was above the people. No doubt it was a height and position that he was standing at. The Bible says, and when he opened it, because he was up where people could see it, the Bible says that all the people stood up. Now, what were they doing? They were showing great respect for the Word of God. Oh, you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Oh, yes, but you can learn from the Old Testament. There's some things in the Old Testament that we can learn from, be able to put in our lives that will make us better people as Christians and will help us to do a better job in serving God, yes, even in the local church. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So in the Old Testament, here's what we know. Since all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Old Testament, just as much a part of your Bible as the New Testament. And because of that, we can take all Scripture that's been inspired by God and we can learn doctrine. We can learn how to reprove ourselves or be reproved by someone that's teaching or preaching. We can learn how to correct ourselves or be corrected if necessary. And we can learn how to receive instruction in righteousness. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So here's what he's saying. The things that were written aforetime. What's that? Well, that's Old Testament. All right. So the things that were written aforetime, those things were written for our learning. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says that we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard, it says, of the patience of Job. May I remind you, please, Job was written about in the Old Testament. So he says in the New Testament, the book of James chapter 5 verse 11, he says, hey, don't you remember the patience of Job? So we can learn some things from the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, do ye err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God? He said, wait a minute, do you err not knowing the scriptures? Stay with me. He didn't say the New Testament scriptures. He said the scriptures. That's talking about totality. So there's things that we can learn in the Old Testament, things we can learn in the New Testament that will help us to be better Christians. Yes, that can help us to be better Christians even in the local church. What do we have to do? We have to pay attention to those things. So let's learn some things tonight about the preacher. The preacher here, Ezra, if you will. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says that all the people were gathered together. The Bible says, as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. Now, that's not talking about the water gate under President Nixon's administration. This is talking about the water gate that's right there. Now, the Bible says here that they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And so here the people are saying, we want the book. Now, here's a man that was known as a scribe. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6, the Bible says, here in this particular chapter, in this particular verse, he's known as a scribe. And it says this, it says a ready scribe in the law of Moses. So he was ready to answer anybody using that which is the Old Testament to be able to give a reason to them. By the way, later on, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 11, the Bible says Ezra the priest. So he's called a scribe. He's called the priest. Now notice the preacher and what he's doing. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says this, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And so here Ezra is. Ezra is getting ready to do something. What's he going to do? He's getting ready to prepare his heart so that he can teach, so that he can expound the truth to the people of God. So let's notice the preacher tonight. Notice the preacher is supposed to be in preparation. So the preacher is supposed to prepare. He's supposed to prepare. It's not just supposed to be, okay, let's get up, sing a bunch of songs, let's have some testimonies, and go home. No, the man of God is supposed to walk with God and through the Spirit of God be able to understand how to deliver the Word of God. And so there's a time of preparation. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, again, the Bible says that he had prepared his heart to seek the law. That's the Word of God. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, and when he had prayed, so here he is, he's preparing his heart. If you back up, or if you go forward just a little bit in the scriptures, you see he's preparing his heart and he's praying. The Bible says he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down, it says, before the house of God. So here he is preparing himself. He's preparing himself secretly. He's preparing himself with supplication and prayers. He's preparing himself with Bible study. He is going to be a prepared man. Now, wait a minute. That's the preacher. But I want you to notice something else. Notice about the pulpit. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 4. Here's what it says. And Ezra the scribe, it says, stood upon the pulpit of wood. Now, you know, there's just something about getting close to what some of the old-fashioned preachers did. There's just something about that that identifies who you are. It didn't say that Ezra sat on a stool. Didn't say that. Didn't say that Ezra had necessarily a table in front of him. No, no, no. Here's what he did. The Bible says that he stood upon the pulpit of wood. Now, I've tried that a couple of times. When I was a younger preacher, and I wasn't as much of a man as I am today, I would get excited. I'd climb up on the pulpit, I'd stand, and I'd preach. And then I could jump down. No problem. No problem. Today, if I jumped down, my knees would probably come up underneath my chin. But here's what he did. He had a pulpit of wood. So notice the pulpit. It was a pulpit of wood. The Bible says that they had made for the purpose. Then notice those that stood beside him. So he had a lot of assistants. Those that were there, no doubt standing to cheer him on. No doubt standing to say, come on, let's do it. No doubt standing to hear the word of God. Sort of like his assistant pastors. The Bible says that he was elevated up. You'll see, and as he was elevated up, he stood and he preached, if you would please, that which was the word of God. Now, how did he preach it? Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. The Bible says, so they read the book of the law distinctively. Then it says, and gave the sense. Then it says, and caused them to understand the reading. So what did he do? He didn't just read the scriptures, he expounded the scriptures. He said, here's what that verse means, and here's what that verse means, and here's what that verse means. So what did he do? He got the sense of it, the understanding of it, and then he expounded the scriptures, okay? He was able to take and say, okay, here is a commentary on what that particular verse means. So as he preached the scriptures, he gave the understanding thereof. Now, wait a minute. He just didn't do that. Back in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 10, I'm going back and forth to give you a good understanding of who this preacher was. But in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have, listen, taken strange wives and increased the trespass of Israel. So not only did he expound the scriptures, but he preached against sin. He says, you have transgressed. Look, don't get mad at the preacher. When the preacher makes the practical preaching practical in your life, all he's trying to do is practice the Bible to teach you a truth. Can I tell you, I've seen great churches over the years. Great churches over the years. I've seen churches that have what you call practical preachers. People seem to grow. People seem to make wise decisions. People seem to be more inspired to live for God. I've seen churches over the years that are pastored by what we would call theologians, where they go deep into the cresses of the Word of God. And here's what I found out. I saw a church years ago in Florida, and when the man died, who was a very practical preacher, they averaged about 10,000. The man that came after him was a good man, but he could not give practical application. It went from fiery preaching to dry teaching. And what took place is the church began to die. Because you see, people wanted to know how to rear their children. People wanted to know how to conduct themselves in public places as Christians. People wanted to know how to be able to use their funds for God. People wanted to know how to be able to pray and how to be able to walk with God and how to be. Now, I'm going to tell you though, practical preaching gets more people mad than theologian-type preaching. Because if you're just preaching as a theologian, you're not giving things that are here today. I mean, you can talk about the things of the coming of the Lord, only the coming of the Lord, but not what's going to happen at the coming of the Lord. You know, it's just giving that which is insight without giving that which is a practical application. Now, I think you ought to keep it contextual. I think you ought to preach the truth. But I think you ought to be able to come to church where the preacher puts the cookies on the lower shelf so everybody can eat. I like what Billy Sunday said. Every message ought to be delivered in shoe leather, shoes that are easily worn out of the church house into the street. Now, can I say this tonight? Here's the preacher. What does he do? Well, the Bible says he gets up and he talks about Israel's transgression. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So what's the preacher supposed to do? He is supposed to preach the Bible thus so. Okay, so sometimes the preacher gets up, and sometimes the preacher, if you will preach a message about doctrine. Sometimes the preacher gets up, and he preaches a message to reprove. Sometimes the preacher gets up, and he rebukes. Yes, sir. Sometimes the preacher gets up, he's going to exhort you. Sometimes the preacher gets up, and he tries to teach you to be able to do certain things in your life. Now, can I tell you? Don't get mad at the preacher. You know, being a preacher is the only spot I know where you can tell somebody the truth and they'll get mad at you. You go to the doctor, doctor says, you got cancer. You're gonna die. You don't say, what do you mean? You have no right to tell me that I've got cancer. If I'm going to die, that's my business. No, here's what you do. Really? I have cancer? I'm going to die? How much longer do I have to live? What can I do to prolong my life? How can I keep myself healthy longer? What can I do to be able to continue? Help me, please. But buddy, when a preacher comes sits in your lap, when a preacher takes that finger, it's so funny, you know, later on in Dr. Lee Robertson's life, he had crippling arthritis, and his fingers begin to bow. So he would point this way, and his finger would be pointing that way. So if he was trying to get on his members and saying, you look here, he's talking to that person over there. Look, what I'm saying is this. Please don't get mad if you have a pastor that's trying to help. You say, well, preacher, I don't agree with everything. Look, dear friend, when you look in the mirror, you don't agree with everything. You know, D.L. Moody said this. He said, the biggest problem I've got is when I wake up in the morning, I stare at him in the mirror. Now, may I say that there's the preacher. Now, watch the people, if you will. Nehemiah chapter 8, we're going back and forth. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, and all the people gathered together, it says, as one man, says, into the street that was before the water gate. So what did they do? The people gathered together. You know, there was a time when people, I tell you, yes, in America, would come to church. They would gather together, and they would gather together in great droves to be able to come to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It ought to be that way today. Somebody has to start it. Hey, let Parkside Baptist Church be the ones to start it. You know what bothers me, and I'm just being honest with you, but it does. Man, it bothers me that churches are calling their churches off on Sunday night. That bothers me. One preacher said, and I quote, he said, no sense trying to ride a dead horse. No, but you might have to give the horse a breath nebulizer or something, or give it mouth to mouth or something like that, resuscitation. I don't know. But if the horse is dying and it's not dead, it still might be treatable. Talking about the people. Notice the request. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law of Moses, says, which the Lord hath commanded to Israel. Said, look, we're not just interested in you coming. We want you to bring the book. We don't want you just to come by yourself. Hey, bring the book. In other words, they're saying, bring that Bible, that scripture, that changes people. Watch this. So they had a request. Watch the reception. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. The Bible says, and he read therein before, it says, the street that was before the water gate. It says, from the morning until noon. So from early in the morning, here's what they're doing. They're just kind of standing there listening to the scriptures being expounded. The Bible says, before the men and the women, that those that could understand, and it says, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. It doesn't say that they were attentive to their text messaging in church. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that they were attentive to some girl sitting in the side of their eyes somewhere, some boy. No, no, no. It says that they were attentive to what? They were attentive to that which is the law. They were attentive to the Bible. Listen, so notice the request. Watch the reception. Now watch this. Look at the respect. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5. The Bible says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And it says, for he was above the people, all the people. And it says, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. You ever see somebody important walk in a room? You ever see it? Somebody important walk in a room and you know he's important. You're back here among the crowd. Everybody's sitting down. What are you doing? You want to see. You ever have a bunch of tall people? You're in an event. There's a tall person that's sitting in front of you. What do you say to the person sitting next to you? Can we change seats? Can we change seats? What do you say to that tall person sitting in front of you? Can you get shorter? Can you get smaller? Can you go down just a little bit? Why? You want to see what's about to take place. The Bible says they had great respect. Here's what they did. They said that they opened up the book. As soon as the book was opened, man, they just stood up. Yeah, that's it. That's the book. That's the book we heard about. Hey, Croatia is about ready to get the entire Bible. There's going to be people that say, that's the book. Heard about this book. That's the book that caused revival throughout the lands of England many years ago. That's the book. Hey, that's the book that in America, America was founded upon that book. Now we've got the book. Hey, I'm saying this. We ought to have great respect for that book that's called the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially, listen to it now, they who labor in the word. In the word. And doctrine. How are you laboring in the word? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, and we beseech you, brethren, it says, to know them which labor among you, and it says, and are over you in the Lord, it says, and admonish you. Here's what he says, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to esteem them highly in the love for their work's sake, that the peace, it says, among yourselves, and be at peace among yourselves. How do you be at peace among yourselves? Labor in that word. Let God work in your life. Over in Psalms 138 and verse 2, here's what it says. Latter portion of the Bible says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So even, if you would please, those of old magnified the word of God above themselves. Why? It was the word of God that was more important than them. Can I tell you what? As a pastor, I am not doing my job. If all of a sudden you leave here and you go to some outfit that is not sound in doctrine because I did not teach you sound doctrine. Now, I've got my part. You have your part. My part is to deliver it. Your part is to do it. So it takes both parts. So there was the request. There was the reception. There was the respect. Watch this. Here's the response. And I'm almost done. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. In Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. In Ezra blessed the Lord, it says, the great God. And all the people answered, watch it now, amen. Amen. All right, here's what we got so far. Ezra gets up, elevated place, almost sounds like a platform, doesn't it? Yeah. Ezra gets up, he opens the book, the people stand. It's almost like we do Sunday morning, Sunday nights. Isn't it? Ezra has a wooden pulpit. Kind of looks like this right here. Wooden pulpit. Bible says he got up, opened the book, and the Bible says that he began to read it, but he had a sense of it. He understood it. He began to explain it. He began to expound it. What was the people's response? The Bible says that all the people answered, Amen! Amen! Watch this. With lifting up their hands. You ever see people in church, all of a sudden, you've seen this. By the way, let me remind you, if you forgot, we're a Baptist church. Amen. Baptist people ought to practice the Bible. Amen. If it's in the Bible, we ought to practice it. Look, you know why people are not excited in church? Can I tell you? People are not excited in church because the people they're sitting around are not excited in church. Come on, you ever go to a ball game? You're at a ball game and you got this guy beside you that cannot behave himself. I mean, every time they hit the basket, he rises up and says, yeah. You know what happens? You might not be doing that, but you're not going to fall asleep either.
Right.
He has brought liveliness into the room. You say, but preacher, nobody else is saying amen. Shouldn't stop you. You say, well, not all the messages are exciting. You can make it that way.
Amen.
Can I tell you what? When you say amen, it's like saying go sick them to a dog. My Bible says, let the redeemed, is that you?
Amen.
My Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. What's it going to be? We're trying to train children. Is that right? We are. We got children precious in his sight all around this room. We have teenagers in here. Is that right? Is that right? So if they stay in a church that's a dead church, stay with me now. And they say, well, I tell you what, I went to Parkside Baptist Church. It was dead as last year's gravy. Man, just don't care for that. Here's what they may do. They may choose a more exciting church. Come on. But it won't be doctrinal. Let me help you a little bit. So if we started practicing the Bible, obeying the Bible, and acting like we're saved, acting like we're enjoying church, acting like God is alive. Okay, so here's the preacher. Finds out this guy's got cancer. I'm the doctor preacher guy. I find out he's got cancer. You know, it's horrible. He's already lost all of his hair. Stomach is beginning to swell. Feet are swelling. It's horrible. I see him. He looks in pitiful shape. So I come over and I say, look, I got the cure. Buddy, I got the cure. I'm going to tell you what, if you just take this cure, you will be made whole. You can have it for $1.95. You know he would pay $1.95? You know he'd pay $195? You know he would pay $1,195? You know he would pay $11,995? You know if he could, he would pay, oh, I don't know, $10,000? 100,000, he'd do whatever it took. Why? He wants to be made whole. He wants to be cured. Yet we have that which is the Word of God. That Word of God can help your marriage to stay together. That Word of God can help you to know how to raise your children. That Word of God can save your financial dilemma. That Word of God can cure you from every problem that you've got in your life. May I say, that's something that you ought to get excited about. Here it is. Bible says, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, says with lifted up hands. Now watch. And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped God with their face to the ground. Sounds like an altar call to me. They heard the preaching of the Word of God. Man of God got up. Man of God opened the Bible. They paid attention. They stood. They heard it. They wanted to worship God. He expounded the Scriptures. They said, man, we just want more. They stood there till noon from the morning time. They weren't in a hurry to leave church. They came to get in. They didn't come to get out. Well, you know, it's late when preacher got up tonight. Wonder when he'll be done. Why? What are you going to do? Well, I need to go home and watch my TV. What are you talking about? Well, I need to go home because I got to get up early, early tomorrow morning. And you go home and don't go to bed anyway. What in the world are you talking about? God changes our lives through the Word of God. So here's what you see. So they lift up the hands, they bowed their heads, they worship God. The Bible says they worship the Lord, it says with their faces to the ground. So what were they doing? They were participating, they were in it. Just like that guy at the ball game. Yeah, go! Come on, you can do it! Run faster, curve to the right. Come on, he's gonna get you. He's gonna tackle you. Now we're talking about football. He's gonna tackle you. He's gonna take you down. Okay, now wait a minute. And so what do you do? You're right there with them. You're right there. Oh, would to God tonight that the church of God that's at Parkside Baptist Church would always be right with a preacher. Amen. Just hanging right there. God, you got something for me. Show me what it is. I'll do it. Here it is. I'm done. Last verse. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, and all the people, it says, went their way to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to make great mirth. The Bible says, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. So what happened? Man, they left happy. They left happy. You ever see somebody come to church and, man, God speaks to their heart? They don't do nothing. Nothing. You ever see somebody come to church and God speaks to their heart? They get something right, and when they leave, how do they leave? Rejoicing.
Amen.
Rejoicing.
Amen.
See, church preaching can change your life so that you can rejoice and actually be a happy person. There's just something about laying your head on your pillow at night, knowing there's nothing between you and the Lord.
Amen.
God spoke to your heart. You said, that's me. You got me. That's me. You got me. Oh, you got me. I'll take care of it.
Amen.
Well, you show me something else. I'll take care of it.
Amen.
Boy, you got me again. Don't ever get mad at God saying, look, I'm tired of you getting me. I'm just tired. Every time I turn my head, you get me. Every time I go to church, you get me. Just seems like that I know what I'm going. You're just going to get me. Mrs. Wells did not chase me to get married. I chased her. I believe that she was the one for my life, and I chased her. And I'm proud of it. I did it through her mom and daddy, but I chased her. But let's suppose that she chased me. You know, because I admired her, I'd watched her from a distance, I'd watched her service for God, her obedience to her parents and to her preacher. Man, it just got my attention so much. Let's just suppose that she chased me. You know what I would have did? I would have slowed down. And I would have said in the back of my mind, hurry up and catch me. Hurry up and catch me. Here I am. I'm going to walk slower. Hurry up. Don't lose me. I'm a good catch. Catch me. Now, what if it was the Lord and you? What if all of a sudden that's paint Brother Craig, now that I've made him feel bad a little bit? Go ahead and stand, if you will. He represents God. And what if God is on the move, and he is, and I say, boy, I tell you what, I really want to get to know you. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you. I just want to get to know you. God's busy. God's working. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to spend time with you. That's all I want to do. All right? Now, in order to spend time with God, my Bible says, draw nigh to God. Ready, Brother Craig? And he will draw nigh to you. So as I'm drawing nigh to God, God says, hey, I like that. Because you're giving me attention, I think now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you attention.
Amen.
But what if I do this? God, you need to change. Let me tell you. This is the way you need to change. Because after all, there's some things that you're telling me to do that I don't agree with. If you would just turn around and listen to me, I'm going to tell you everything that I don't agree with. Would you just turn around and pay attention to me, because I am important. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I have needs? Here's how you get your needs met. God, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Brother Ward said, I got a burden for Croatia. Don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to take a soul-winning trip. Because after all, the Lord said that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as the Father has sent him, he's also going to send you. Brother Ward, I don't know how you can use me. Just want to be used. I think I'll go on a couple soul-winning trips. So he goes, and every time he's drawn closer to the Savior, every time. Then all of a sudden the Savior taps a boss on the shoulder. Did you listen to his testimony? And said, I want you to give that Brother Ward money. He's got my heart so much, I want you to pay his way for 2 years. Hello? So God can't do that. He did. He did. But it wasn't Brother Ward going around trying to change God.
Right.
Wasn't Brother Ward saying, hey, look, let me have this. Don't you think I deserve this? Don't you understand who I really am? No. It was Brother Ward saying, just want you to know, I know what your burden is. I want to carry your burden.
Amen.
And God, in return, says, I like that, and I'll help you.
Amen.
And God does every single time. I think sometimes we get confused. We say, well, I'll tell you what, God, you're not supplying because maybe you're just not in it. Might be we're not in the right place for God to supply.
Amen.
Father, help us tonight, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.